John chapter 21, just remain standing. John chapter 21. Now, I preached this at Wilson First and Revival several months ago, and some of you were here, but a lot of you were not. But this is the message for the hour that I had been planning to preach on Sunday morning the next time I had a chance. And so today is the chance. And so I just believe the Lord has just put it all together. Amen? John chapter 21. Now, I'm going to preach this morning on two words that are found five times in the Gospels. These two words involve all that you need from God. These two words will change your situation. These two words will change your life. And these two words are found five times. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the last time it is found. And then in the message, I'm going to go back to the first time, and we're going to end up where we started out. How about that? And John chapter 21 in verse 15, if you're there, say amen. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Now I want you to see two words up there. I wish I could highlight it with my finger, but I can't. Two words. Simon, do you love me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord. Now, we're going to pronounce it the English, southern y'all, you know what I'm saying. We're going to say, yes, Lord. All right. So he said unto him, yes, Lord. All right. That's the two. Woo, glory. I felt that already. That's the two words that's going to change your life. Say it with me. Yes, Lord. Father, today, anoint your servant to preach the word of God. We give you the praise for what you're going to do. Touch our pastor this morning with a mighty healing. And God, we know that you're up to something, and we'll give you the glory. May I decrease. May you increase. And may this word not be Ricky Nelms, but may it be you, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're blessed and highly favored. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Now give him a hand of praise this morning. One more time. Oh, clap your hands, all your people. Five times in the Gospels and in the life of Jesus, you will find these two words. Yes, Lord. Five times that brought grace, that brought hope, that turned the impossibility to the possible, that changed time and eternity. And here's what these two words stand for. The first word is yes. Say the word yes. It comes from the Greek word nai, N-A-I, and it's often translated yea or yea, Lord. Sometimes it's translated verily in the King James, or verily, Lord. A lot of times it's translated truly, or we could say truly, Lord. Sometimes it's translated assuredly, or even so. Webster's dictionary says that yes is a particle of assertion or confirmation. That's what the word yes means. In other words, you could say, instead of saying yes, Lord, you can say I assert, Lord, or I confirm, Lord. Now, the second word, we have the word yes. The second word tells us who we're saying yes to. We're saying not yes to the Pope, not yes to President Trump, or not yes to a deacon board, or not yes to your friend, but we're saying yes, Lord. Come on. Yes, Lord. And that word Lord has several meanings, several translations. The word Lord can be translated master. It could be translated owner, one having authority over us. So really what we're saying is yes, master. And he is the master. Amen. We could be saying yes to our owner. And how many of you know he owns the very breath that's in our hands? One having authority. You know, years ago in the old church, we used to sing a song and it went something like this. Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord. Say it with me if you know it. I will trust you and obey when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart, I'll agree. Here it is. And my answer will be yes, Lord. Yes. And I want you to know this morning, that's the answer. to your prayers. I want you to know that is the freedom from your fears. That is the answer to the breakthrough, to the promotion, to the revival. It is found in those two words. And I pray before this service is over this morning for all that God wants to do in your life and for all God wants to do at Westmoreland. I pray that your prayer will not be long and lengthy and full of these and thous and words you can't, you know, seraphim. I just pray it's this. Yes, Lord. Can you lift your hand and do that right now? Yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, Lord, to your way. Lord, I need a touch. I need a change this morning. I can't do it the way I'm going. But I say with my whole heart, yes, Lord, give him a hand of praise if you believe it this morning. It had to be important. Five times. So let's go to the first time, what I call the yes, Lord, of humility. And the first time we find those two words is in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Now, because we have a lot of scripture to cover, I'm going to have to go kind of fast. Y'all okay with that? So put on your seatbelt. We're going for a ride, all right? Mark chapter 7 is talking about this lady who we often call the, we don't know her name, but she's known as the woman from Syrophoenicia. And by the way, Syrophoenicia is between Sims and Bailey. I just want you to know it's a crossroads over there. But Syrophoenician lady, all right? That's how we know. That's how we know. You didn't know I knew that, did you? Praise God. But listen, Mark chapter 7, verse 27. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she answered, look at what she answered, verse 28. She said unto him, what is it? Yet the dogs under the table eat of the master's crumbs. Now here's what's happening. This woman has a daughter that's sick. And she is not a Jew. She's a Gentile. Jesus was Jewish and the nation of Israel, they were Jews. So she's not even from Israel. She's not even of the right nationality. And so if you know anything about the culture of that day, if you were a Jew, you really didn't have a lot of dealings with Gentiles. But this woman came to Jesus. Now, that was bold right there. How many of you know God can break the racial barrier? Can I get a witness? We're not red, yellow, black, and white. We're all one in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're black, I love you. If you're Syrophoenician, I love you. Even if you're from Sims, I love you. It doesn't matter. Praise God. We're all in the Lord. And somebody say amen to that this morning. Now, she said, Lord, will you heal my daughter? Now, notice his response. Go back to Mark chapter 7, verse 27. So here she is. Lord, would you heal my daughter? And look at what he says. He said, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now, wait a minute. This on the outset, or if you know, this could, in a sense, he kind of called her a dog, in a sense now. Now, this could have really highly offended her. I mean, I'm asking help for my daughter, and you're kind of implying that I'm a Gentile dog? I mean, after all, she's a woman. After all, she's a human. After all, she's got a need. And Jesus, you're saying, and using the word dog? Now, how many of you would like it if Pastor Jerry, or if myself, or Brother Philip, if you come to us and you have a need, and instead of us praying for your need, how many of you would like it if we called you a dog? Now, let me tell you something. That wouldn't last very long. Can I get a witness out there? I mean, if the pastor calls you a dog, I mean, it's not good. Can I get a witness out there? But notice, you're going to miss this. She did not get offended. In fact, she turned it around. Instead, she said, yes, Lord. You see, I really believe what's holding a lot of people back. I really believe what's holding some of you back. It is not the Democrats or the Republicans or who's president. It's not the radical gay agenda. Notice I said the radical gay agenda. It's not even the radical Islamists that's holding a lot of you back this morning. Those are problems in our world that must be addressed. But really what's holding a lot of people back is an offended spirit, is when Christians have a chip on their shoulder, when Christians are always getting all out of bent out of shape over some little something that somebody did didn't do right, or maybe harboring unforgiveness. Let me tell you something. If we're going to have revival, if we're going to have church that reaches this city, if we're going to have God's power, we cannot have an offended spirit. We got to be like this lady and just turn it back around. You can't offend me. I'm just going to say yes, Lord, and receive what I need from the Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. You see, a lot of Christians are like porcupines. They have a lot of good points, but you better not get too close to them. You seen one? Are you sitting next to one? You better not say anything. Come on now. I mean, she could have really got offended. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're humble, and look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. It says, likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed. Say that with word. Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Go back to verse 5. We might have missed that. It says, clothe yourself with humility. For God resists the who? And he gives grace to the who? Now go to the next scripture. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Listen, when you're at work, you better be humble. When you're at home and you're married, you better be humble. When you got kids, you better be humble but firm. And when you are kids, you better be humble. In fact, the deacons need to be humble. The preachers need to be humble. The president needs to be more humble. Can I get a witness out there? We all need some humility. And if we all say, yes, Lord, I believe we'll see some mighty things happen when we humble ourselves and just say, yes, Lord. Do you believe it this morning? And I tell you something else. She said, yes, Lord. I know I'm a Gentile dog, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. You know what? I never saw this till I was studying this some time ago, but you know, I will go to some people's house and sit up at their table. And all of a sudden, some little four-legged creature will come scurrying through the house. And I'm sitting there eating maybe the steak or the mashed potatoes. And I'll just see something out of the corner of my... Y'all following me? I see something out of the corner of my eye, and there he is. Have you ever seen a dog at the table? Come on. Have you got a dog? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You don't have to tell me. Well, claim it. Amen. But let me tell you, I've never yet been to somebody's house when a dog was at the table that he didn't look like he was excited. You know why he's excited? Because he's just down in his little dog belly. He just knows that the master is about to throw him, woo, glory, a piece of chicken, a crumb. I'm here to tell you, somebody say, yes, Lord, I want all the, I'm expecting a revival. I'm expecting a healing. I'm expecting a breakthrough. I'm like a dog. Yeah, that's all right. But I'm at the master's table. And I'm expecting somebody shout, yes, Lord. Give him another hand of praise this morning. I'm expecting like that dog. Amen. So be humble. Number one, the yes, Lord of humility. Are you expecting God to do something? You got to believe the report of the Lord. When I gave my first fruit, and I don't say this to brag, I say it to be an example and to encourage you. When I gave that first fruit, it was a challenge. It was not easy. I really couldn't afford it. But I knew when I gave it, it's going to come back some way or another. You say, well, it didn't have to be money. It could be some other blessing. But every now and then, my landlord needs money. Can I get a witness? The light bill needs money. Can I get a witness? When I go fix the tires on my car and I pull away, before I pull away, they want some. And I want you to know, when I laid it down, and you can't tell me that 10 times that in return, I am expecting, I am saying, yes, Lord, to humility, you have your will and your way. Can you say amen? Now, if I keep going like this, I'm going to be finished, all right? So y'all say, yes, Lord, amen. Number two, the yes, Lord of truth. Somebody say truth. Now, you might not shout through this one. Because let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 51. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 51. You ready? Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Look at verse 49. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Look at verse 51. And Jesus said unto them, have you understood these things? And they said unto him, what? Now, that's some strong truth right there, isn't it? I mean, he's talking about eternity. He's talking about a final separation. He's talking about heaven to gain. And he's talking about what? A hell to shun. And you know, we hear a lot of speaking. We hear a lot of motivation, but we're not hearing a lot of truth these days. We got to hear, you know what will make you free? Not motivation will make you free. Not somebody's opinion will make you free. How many of you know what will make you free? The truth shall make you free. And I want you to know that he talked about, you know, hell. He talked about the truth of hell. People say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in a literal eternal hell. Well, if you don't believe in hell, then how can you turn around and believe in heaven? Come on. The same Bible that tells us of gates of pearl and streets of gold tells us of the eternal flame where the fire dieth not. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is truth. But here's the good news about hell. I've got good news about hell. Yes, it's awful, it's terrible, but let me tell you, the good news is you don't have to go. And you know what will keep you from going to hell? Two words. Come on, amen. I want you to know that Calvin Coolidge was presiding over the Senate, and one senator looked at another senator, and this senator from over here shot out to the senator over there and said, you can go to hell. And the offended senator looked up at Calvin Coolidge, who was the vice president and the moderator. He said, Mr. Moderator, he has told me to go to hell. What do you say about that? And so Calvin Coolidge looked through the rules of the Senate, parliamentary procedure. He flipped through the pages and he said to the senator who was told to go to hell, according to the rules, you don't have to go. Turn around and tell somebody you don't have to go. You got to believe the truth. Islam is not the way. Buddhism is not the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, Brother Ricky, there are many ways to God. Let me tell you something. Saying there are many ways to God is like saying there's many ways to your house. Now, I know where Edna and Philip live. They live on, what's the name of your road? I know where it's at. Bullhead Road. And if you get out on Tillman Road and you take a left, and then you go down to Ward and take another left, and then go down to 264 and take another left, do you think you're going to wind up on Bullhead Road that way? For those of you who've never been to their houses, they live over toward Bailey, all right? All roads do not lead to Bailey. All roads do not lead to Jesus or to heaven. There's only one way. It's the straight and the narrow. It is paid for by the blood of Jesus. You say, well, that's awfully, awfully arrogant of you to say your religion is the only way. Well, I tell you what, you let me know when you're the head of your religion dies and rises again, and we might debate it for a few minutes. But until then, he came out of that grave. The truth will make you free, and you don't have to go to hell. Come this morning and say yes, Lord, to heaven. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees. If hell must be filled, let it be filled with the teeth of our exertions, and let none go unwarned or unprayed for. Charles Spurgeon said that. When it comes to truth, we got to say yes, Lord. When it comes to the truth of eternity, we got to say yes, Lord. When it comes to the truth of loving, we got to say yes, Lord. Did you hear me? Did you know loving is a truth? You know, we got to love one another. We can't hold things in our heart. We got to say yes, Lord. I got to move on. When it comes to the truth of serving, Sister Carolyn Edwards, we discussed that this morning. We need people to serve. New members, we need people to serve. When it comes to serving, we need to say woo. When it comes to giving, When it comes to giving, what do we need to say? Did you know giving is a truth? It's not that Pastor Jerry or Pastor Rick is wanting to get anything from you. No, sir. We're not made that way. On the opposite, we are givers. Amen. I was reading this in Reader's Digest, and it was so cute, I had to pass it along to you. And this guy from California said, I was relaxing on a recent Saturday when the doorbell rang. Two pleasant grade school children, a girl and a boy, were standing at my front door. Each held a few pieces of paper and an envelope stapled together. Hello, said the girl. We are raising money for a jogathon at our elementary school. Would you like to donate? Maybe, he said. Well, just where is this money you're collecting going to go? And they answered in unison, oh, mister, it goes in the envelope. Now, he meant, where was it going to be used for? And the little kids were like, it goes in the envelope. You know, right in front of your seat, there's an envelope. You need to pull that envelope, and every week you need to put something in there called tithes and offerings, and you ought to say, yes, Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, I'll make no apologies, because when we give, God gives back to us, blessed and highly favored of God. I want you to say, yes, Lord, to the truth. Give him a hand of praise for the truth this morning. It'll make you free. It's all these lies that'll mess you up. It's all that you see on TV that tells you you can do this and have that. Do you think, I look at some of these movie stars on TV, and I'm not to judge anybody. What's that girl's name that her daddy was a country singer and she does all this weird stuff? Miley Cyrus. Miley, do you think she looks happy? Come on. Do you think Madonna looks happy? I know she's old now, like some of you don't know who she is, but she used to sing back in the 80s. But I'm telling you, you look at these Hollywood actors, they look like their eyes are glass. They got all this money, but they got all this turmoil. Let me tell you something. There's only one thing that satisfies, and that is the Lord. And you just need to say, yes, Lord, this morning, and let God have his way. Then number three, as I hasten, there's the yes, Lord, of faith. The third time we find those words is in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Brother Blue, if you're there, would you give me a thumbs up? And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, look at verse 28, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? What did they say? Ooh. Verse 29, Then he touched their ears, saying, according to your faith, their eyes, according to your faith, be it unto you, and their eyes were open. Two blind men calling out to Jesus to be healed. Now, that is the first thing you've got to do to get a miracle. The first thing they did was call out to God. It's time for us to call out to God for our children to be saved. It's time for us to call out to God for our church to be revived, and I'm talking about generally. It's time for us to call out to God. And so if we're going to have God to do something, we got to learn to pray. Somebody say the word pray. And notice the first thing they said, go back to verse 27. You might miss this. Verse 27, they cried out saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now they were blind. You would think the first thing they would have asked for was, Lord, heal my eyesight. But that's not the first thing to ask for. The first thing to ask for was mercy. How many of you thank God for mercy this morning? How many of you? Let me tell you, thank God for mercy. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You go to the restaurant and the waitress doesn't fill up your tea, lets your bread get cold, comes out about once every 45 minutes. And when you get ready to leave, here's what most of us think. Well, she ain't getting a tip today. But pull out your wallet, $5 bill, and you slap it on that table. Do you know what you've just done? You've just shown mercy. She didn't deserve it. I'm talking about the other night I went to Cracker Barrel, by the way. But come on now. But you get the right riches, it'll be fine. But I'll show, listen, mercy. You know what grace is? Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. Somebody say amen. And grace, you know what grace is? You say, I don't deserve God's grace. I don't, I've sinned already enough just because I'm a preacher, just because I gave a first fruits offering. Do you think that earns me anything with God? No, sir. It is all by the grace of God. In fact, this lady, she had her portrait made and she didn't like what the artist drew. She was a very wealthy lady and very refined, and she commissioned this artist to draw this painting of her. And when he unveiled it, he looked at her and said, "Sir, that portrait doesn't do me any justice." And the artist looked at her and said, "Ma'am, you didn't need justice. You needed a lot of mercy." Amen. Somebody just lift your hand and thank him for not getting justice, but getting mercy. Yes, Lord, somebody. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. They called out by faith. Yes, Lord. Do you believe? Jesus looked at them and said these words. Go back, Brother Blue, to verse number 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said, here's what I'm going to ask you. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? And I'm asking Westmoreland, I'm asking you, do you believe, Brother Lazaro, that God can do that, what we've talked about the other day? Do you believe that the Lord can heal that body? Do you believe that if you don't have children, God can give you children? Do you believe, does anybody here believe that God is still God? Do you believe that He's able? Say yes, Lord. He's able to heal, say it. He's able to deliver. He's able to set free. He's able to bless abundantly above all we can ask or think. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Give him a hand of praise. The yes, Lord of faith. And then number four, there's the yes, Lord of what I call assurance. And we're getting closer to the end here. John chapter 11 and verse 24. Give me a thumbs up when you got that, brother. If you're there, say amen, everybody. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now you got to understand where we're at here. Her brother had been dead for 4 days. So get the picture. And she had asked the Lord to come and heal him, and he didn't come on her timetable. Somebody say, amen. Then she gets a little tiffy. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Thank you very much. Huh? Not going to do any good now, is it? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. I love that. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said unto him, where's it at, brother? She said unto him, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God. You see, she was struggling with something here. She said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. See, she was having yesterday's faith. You know, there's a lot of people that's got yesterday's faith. They think, well, back there in the 80s, we had a great revival. Or back there in the 90s, I got a great healing. Or back 3 years ago, I got promoted and now I need another one and I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? We need to get out of yesterday's faith. Come on now. And then she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, you could have healed him. But I know that in the future, you're going to do something for him. You're going to raise him up. See, she went from yesterday's faith to way on into tomorrow's faith. And that is true that down the road, God's going to do things. That is true that we're going to have the resurrection. That is true that we're going to have heaven. But I don't know about you, but I got some things now I need from God. Come on. Now look at John chapter 11, verse 21. Go to verse 21, 11. Give me a thumbs up. It says, then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, say those words, Even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it. That's where we need to be. Not yesterday's revival, not yesterday's promotion, not yesterday's faith, not what's going to happen way out in the fair blue yonder, over yonder in the glory land, which I believe we're headed that way. I need some now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I need some faith now. I got children now that need to be saved. My family, I need now God to do something. I need a miracle. Does anybody other than Ricky Nims need God to do something now? My question is, do you believe that he can do it? Somebody say, yes, Lord. Even now, it's not too late for my marriage. Even now, God is up to something. Even now, God is going to bless beyond all that we can imagine. Even now, that is the yes, Lord, of assurance. I know he's got it all in control. Say amen. The yes, Lord, of assurance. And then finally, we're back where we started from. Some of you didn't think I was going to make it, did you? Finally coming down to the runway. Five times. Yes, Lord. And we see it back to where we started. If you want to pull that scripture back up again to John chapter 21. Yes, Lord, of humility. Will you be humble? Will you not hold unforgiveness? Will you be expecting like the dog from the master's table? The yes, Lord, of truth. Will you say, Lord, I believe your word is true? Will you say yes, Lord, to faith? Lord, I believe that you're able to do this. Amen. Somebody say amen. Will you say the yes, Lord, to assurance? I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to let the past go. I'm going to believe even now. Will you do that? Say yes, Lord. And then finally, we're back to where we started. Peter. Now, let me give you the description here. Peter was a disciple of the Lord. And we're coming up to Easter here in a few weeks. And we all remember that night when Peter did what? Denied the Lord. In other words, Jesus looked at his disciples and says, you guys are all going to scatter tonight. Peter looked up and said, not me. Don't you know that I'm, you know, the rock? My name is Peter, man. I go with you to the cross itself. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, man, I got your number, bro. Let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me the same amount of times. You will have denied me three times. And guess what happened? As soon as Jesus got carried away, Peter followed, looking around the corner, and some little girl, some 12-year-old girl said, hey, he's one of them. He's one of them. And Peter, for that moment, knowing he'd probably have to die, he said, I don't know the man. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know him. And in a crowd gather, you got to remember now, Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years, saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, saw him feed 5,000 with just two loaves of bread and a few fish. This Peter denied the Lord. Please don't white coat that sin. Are you with me? He said the second time, I don't know him. And then somebody else came along and said, I know him. He talks like a Galilean. I always chuckle at that scripture because I'm like, you know, they had a different accent. You know, sometimes we have a different accent down here. Can I get a witness? But listen, Peter said for the third time, I don't know him. And then he added some words, what we would call cuss words. Yeah, Peter. He did that. He denied the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's not one of us in here so holy that in the right circumstances, we won't be tempted to the very core of our being. You do not need to have, and I know there are many of you in this church, we pray for those who are on drugs. We pray for those who have had ruined their life by sexual promiscuity, and we are to show grace and mercy, but if we're not careful, we who are in the church, we got to be careful that we don't become like the man that walked up to God and said, I gave so much money and I'm a child of God and I'm this. No, let me tell you something. We are all needing God's grace and God's mercy. We cannot boast if it's not. Well, I'll tell you, I'll never. You don't know what will happen under those circumstances. We need to be humble. Can I get a witness out there? And that's and you know how to tell if you really have the right attitude is how you treat others. If you're always goody two shoes about others and you're always talking about, well, I don't understand why that one did that. And I don't understand why that one failed. And I don't understand. You know what you're saying is you're kind of feeling like you could never do that. But you know what? We don't know. I know it got quiet in here, didn't it? But let me tell you something. Peter failed the Lord. Has anybody other than Peter and other than Ricky Nelms failed the Lord? Would you just admit it? We all have. But Jesus, going back to Peter. Peter just got discouraged and he got out on the boat. He said, I'm going to go back fishing. And he toiled all night and couldn't catch any fish. And he was an expert fisherman. I know he was miserable. It's like, man, I gave 3 years and the Lord is crucified and now I can't even catch fish anymore. I've done lost my trade. What am I going to do? And he just, you know how we think. And all of a sudden he hears a voice. And I'm telling you this morning, some of you are hearing a voice. Children, have you caught any fish or have you got any meat? But what he really was saying, have you caught any fish yet, guys? He knew they hadn't caught any fish. Do you have what you're looking for? You thought you could date that guy and it'd be all right. But now, come on, where's that guy at now? Left you with the bills and the baby. Come on. The preacher said that, didn't he? But listen to me. Jesus called them back. And when they got back to the shore, Jesus, you know what he was doing? Brother Philip, he was cooking something. What was he cooking? He was cooking. He had what they were looking for. I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got what you're looking for. You're looking for contentment? God's got it. You're looking for somebody to love you? God's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. You're looking for hope? God's got it. Don't you go into an alcohol bottle. Don't you snort some cocaine. We love you. God will forgive you. But that ain't got what you need. He's got all that you need. He's got grace and mercy and peace. He's got your fulfillment. He's got forgiveness for your sins and forgiveness for your guilty past. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And what did Peter say, church? And then he said the second time, Peter, do you love me? What did he say the second time? Oh, the third time, Peter, do you love me? And all three times, and that's another sermon for another day. Jesus gave him something to do. He said, Peter, I didn't call you to be a fisherman. That's not a bad thing. I called you to fish for men. And Peter, you go out there. Because about 40 days from now, I'm going to need you to stand up and preach. And Peter, you may feel low, but as long as you love me, as long as you love me, as long as you'll say those two words, what are they? I'm going to restore all that is the devil has stolen, all that you have lost. Can I tell you this morning that God is a God of restoration? You may have spent many years and done some bad things and messed up your life. But Brother Ricky, what's the answer? Two words. Those two words can turn it all around. Come on, lift your hands up to the Lord and I believe God wants to restore some people this morning. Restore some hope. Restore some. You don't know what they did to me when I was a child. But I'm here to tell you, just say yes, Lord, and He'll turn that situation, that hurt around. You don't know what my husband left me after 10 years. But I'm here to tell you, God has still got a future for you. Would you stand with me this morning? Come on and lift those hands up to the Lord. And brother, if you'll go ahead and play the music very softly this morning. I want you to lift those hands and just make a simple prayer this morning. Do you need assurance? Do you need restoration? Do you need healing in your body? Just say yes, Lord, this morning. Will you forgive those who've hurt you? Come on. I know they talked about you on the job. I know that they talked about you in your family. I know they didn't do you right. But will you just forgive them. If you will, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we give ourselves away. We give ourselves away to you this morning, Lord. Now, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. What's it going to be? You really only have two choices. You have choice number one, to asking God into your life as Savior. Choice number one is, yes, Lord, be my Savior. Option number two is, no, Lord. Do you realize that when you don't say yes, Lord, do you realize by the reverse, you're saying, no, Lord? So I want to ask you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need Jesus. You need forgiveness of sins. We've all sinned, all of us. We're in danger. There is a hell that is real. And if we don't know the Lord, if we don't receive His gracious gift, then we're at danger. And I urge you this morning, don't put off to next week or next year. Young people, as your head is bowed, listen to me. I know you're young and you don't think about death. But please understand that we don't know what tomorrow holds. Today He's dealing with you. Today He's in this room. I feel Him so strong. What do you need to do? Very simply, just say, yes, Lord. If you were going to do that this morning and ask Jesus into your heart, would you just pray this prayer? Dear Lord, everybody pray it out loud with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I say, yes, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. I give you my life, my future. I repent. I turn from those ways. And by grace, through faith, I'm saved. Not through works, not turning over a new leaf, but through you and only you, I'm saved. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, everybody. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If you want to say yes, Lord, to for whatever it is, and I mean this, and you don't have to come unless you really feel it, but I want to know who in this church is going to say those two words. Yes, Lord. Now, that not only means for healing, that only means for forgiveness, it also means for service. Is there anybody here that's going to say, yes, Lord, I'm here to serve. I want to be a blessing. If that's you, I want you to step out of your seat and let's close in prayer as the singers sing, I Give Myself Away. Let's all come this morning and just pray those two words. Yes, Lord, I give myself away. If you need a healing, say yes, Lord. If you want God to use you, say yes, Lord. If you've got children that need to be claimed, come on down and say yes, Lord. Oh God, we come. We give ourselves away this morning. We give ourselves away. Lord, we say, yes, Lord. God, you brought us to this moment. Yes, Lord. Say it this morning over and over again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the alcohol. I'm not going back to that relationship. I'm not going back to that bitterness. I'm saying yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to revival. Yes, Lord, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord, to giving. If you're not a giver this morning, a tither, say yes, Lord, and let God begin to bless you. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, Sister Judy. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Right now, sister, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we praise you this morning. We praise you this morning. Yes, Lord. Oh, God, thank you this morning. As Cindy says, yes, Lord, to you. God, you're gonna bless in ways that we can imagine. Restoration. I said restoration. My life is not my own. Brother Eric, you've been through some valleys. You've been through the greatest trials a human can endure in so many respects. But keep looking forward and just say, yes, Lord. put all of that in His hands. God is turning it around. God knows the pain and He knows the hurt. And He's turning it all around and He's going to use it for His glory. I give myself away this morning. Lord, I pray for these young people this morning as they sing, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We praise You. We bless You. We magnify Your name this morning. We say yes, Lord, to Westmoreland." Amen, somebody. Yes, Lord, to Westmoreland Church. How many of you believe God is going to bless this church like never before? Amen. Look at this crowd this morning. This is a very good crowd for a rainy Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, Lord. God bless you. We love You this morning. Let's have a closing prayer for our pastor one more time, who we love so much. And Father, as we close this service, we do pray for Pastor Jerry. We speak healing in his body. We know that God, in that hospital room right now, that You are there. And Pastor Jerry has already said yes, Lord, to You in so many ways. Lord, just bless him, Lord. God, we come against fear. We silence the voice of doubt that is probably screaming into his ear. And God, we pray for Sister Teresa, First Lady Teresa, God, give her physical strength. And we believe, God, for a speedy and a full recovery. Everybody said, yes, Lord. Everybody said, yes, Lord. As you're leaving, tell somebody you are blessed.